Good morning. My name is Heath. I'm the lead pastor here at Reach, and I'm excited that you're here this morning. I'm glad all the snow is gone, though we got a little bit of warmth, and then it went away. So thank you for still coming out in the, well, let's call it bitter cold of the South. I know it's not bitter cold if you're from anywhere outside of North Carolina, but it's cold for us. And for you now, because you're here. So get used to that. Your body will soon acclimate to this, and then this will be bitterly cold within a year. So no worries. We just want to just prepare you guys for this morning. We're in a four-week series called The Waiting Room. Last week, the big idea was, and here's the, let's get the image, because the image is going to go throughout. The image of the waiting room is, you're sick. Where do you go? The doctor. Where do you spend a lot of time in? The waiting room. So here's the image, and it'll go well with what we talked about last week and what we're going to be talking about. You're in the waiting room because you acknowledge that something's wrong. Like you've tried to fix it. You've taken all the over-counter stuff that you've taken, and it's not going away. So you're in the waiting room because you've acknowledged, and that was last week, with the story of Jesus, with the man that had been paralyzed for 38 years, do you want to be healed? That is question number one. If you don't want to be healed, then everything else that we say is kind of irrelevant because you don't want to be in the waiting room because you think you're still okay. So that's all right. You can still get some stuff out of today. But last week was, do you want to be healed? This week, in that same illustration, is do you believe that what you're waiting for, if we go back to the illustration of the waiting room, the doctor on the other side, is that doctor capable of doing what you need? So that's today. Is do you believe God is able and willing to heal you? And I'm not just saying, I think sometimes you're like, well, you know, I don't have any ailments that I need healing from. There's deeper ailments in us that we need healing from. And so I just want to take, you know, the next 30 minutes and unpack this because we got to get there. Because we won't tolerate the waiting room if we don't believe what's on the other side of the waiting room is worth the wait. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you. Lord, we thank you for worship. We thank you for the truths that we sang today. Let us believe those truths. That you have set us free, that you have arrested death, and you have brought us to life. And Lord, we pray that this morning as we read your word, as we look to you as the author and perfecter of our faith, the one that is the great physician, that we would with faith trust that you have us exactly where you want us, and you are leading us to life. Let us ask for it today. So open our eyes and our hearts and our minds to your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So we're going to start in Psalms 25, verses 4 and 5. And it's going to be something that we're going to end on. So let me read it and then we'll go back to that. In verse 4, it says, "Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your path. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation." That's the person writing the Psalms going, do this for me. Because you are the God of my salvation. And here's the key. Here's where we're at today. For you, I wait all the day long. So, the psalm writer is going, here's what I want from you. I want you to do these things in me. I want you to teach me your ways. I want you to teach me your path. I want you to lead me into your truth. And after releasing that, he says, I will wait for you all the day long. To be honest with you, most of us, including me at times, goes, God, please, 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 please. And then as soon as we let it go out of our mouth, we begin to work the thing. Like, we want you to do this, and you immediately go and start like you were doing before, trying to bring your own miracle, trying to bring your own healing instead of going, here I am. I wait for you all day long. And that's the heart of today. And so for that, for us to understand and be willing to wait all the day long, we have to understand that he is able. I'm going to read, I'm reading a book to, along with a series, there's an author named Andrew Murray wrote a book called Waiting on God, and it is awesome. And I'm going to kind of read this slow because it took me a couple of readings to get it. So just listen to this. And this is dealing with Psalms 25. It says, the Father in heaven is so interested in his child and so longs to have his life at every step in his will and his love that he is willing to keep his guidance entirely in his own hands. He knows so well that we are unable to do what is really holy and heavenly except as he works it in us. That he means his very demands to become promises of what he will do. In watching over and leading us all the day, not only in special difficulties in time of perplexities, but in the common course of every day, we may count upon him to reach we may count upon him to reach us his way and to show us his path. He is so interested in that that he's doing it in spite of our ill efforts to thwart his purpose. That's the beauty of the God that we serve. And so what I want to do for the rest of the time, and the beauty of this is, if you're reading along with us in the One Year Bible, Matthew 8, you read this week. And you know, that's the beauty of being consistently in the Word. As you're going, God, what are you looking for me? He will bring it to your attention. And we're going to be in a specific start, but I'm basically going to go through all of Romans. I love Romans so much. Matthew 8. And all I want to do for the rest of my time with you is that to compel you into the belief that Jesus is capable of doing what is needed in your life. Because, again, if we're using the illustration of in the waiting room, what's on the other side of that door has to be able to free you from what you're there for. So here's the first one. In Matthew 8, there's a leper that comes up to Jesus and he has this amazing conversation. And I would love to know the background. I don't know who this leper heard about Jesus. I don't know what any background. All I know is he walks into the presence of Jesus and he says these words. I mean, imagine the faith that is filled in this person. It says, if you will, you can make me clean. I mean, can you imagine walking up to someone today? And I know leprosy isn't a thing of the United States. It still exists in our world, but it's not here. So we're not worried about this. And walking into Walmart and going, unclean, unclean, like don't touch me. And, you know, you're look, anyway, gross. And here's this person that probably breaking social norms, probably not where he's supposed to be, but he's pursued Jesus. He finds Jesus and he says these words, if you will, you can make me clean. And this is what I love about Jesus, because we see that this does not have to happen, and none of this until we get till verse 23 is not up here, so I apologize for that. I didn't want you to be distracted with that. He didn't have to, but Jesus, from that statement, reaches out and touches the leper, which is totally inappropriate for a holy, clean, pure priest. That would be unheard of. But he, when he doesn't have to, reaches out and touches the leper, saying, I will be clean. I literally wrote my notes. Boom! I mean, can you imagine? Clean, and he was clean. He said, go and show yourself to the priest. Offer what Moses required in proof that he is healed.
And so right after this encounter, a centurion finds Jesus, and there's has a paralyzed servant, and he comes up to him and he said, "Can you please heal him? I love this servant so much that I came to you, someone outside of my sect, to pursue healing." And Jesus said, "Yes, I will come to your house." And the centurion says, "I'm not worthy for you to enter my house, but only say the word." See, these are people that are looking at the door, and on the other side of the door, they have no doubt that this person is able to do this. So he's just saying the word from miles away, because it actually takes a while for him to get back there. So we know that he didn't have to touch the leper to heal him, but he speaks it. And Jesus praises the centurion's faith, and he says, "Go, let it be done as you have believed." You're going to hear that a lot. I apologize. And then from that, he goes over to a dinner party at Peter's house and walks in, and the mother-in-law of Peter is sick in the bed. And Jesus walks over to her and is like, "Hey, mother-in-law, love you. Be healed. Get up." And what does she do? She gets right up and serves Jesus. Whole nother sermon all in there. I'm not even going to get there. Boom, and it wasn't even his purpose. And people outside of this start coming in, and he's freeing people from demonic possession. He is healing people over and over and over again. And then, not to make this too easy and too free, there's this cost of following Jesus, where foxes have holes. They're like, "I'll follow you." And he's like, look, following me is hard. Like, I don't have a house. You know, I don't have these things. And so he puts this there. And then after that, he's like, "Hey, let's get in the boat. Let's take a ride to the other side." And this is a story. If you've been in church, you've heard this over and over again, starting in verse 23. They get in the boat. Verse 23, and it says, "And when he got into the boat, the disciples followed him." Of course. Like, if you were a so-so disciple of Jesus, maybe at the beginning when Jesus walks up and say, "Hey, you follow me," and they're like, "Okay, I'll follow you." I mean, you might have a little, they followed. I'm not knocking their, like, belief in Jesus. Don't get mad at me. But, like, you might have been, like, a little leery. But, like, when you start seeing lepers healed, centurions, you know, miles away, 10, 20 miles away, healed. When you see him heal Peter's mother-in-law, you're like, "Wherever you're going, Jesus, I'm there." So, of course, they get in the boat. In verse 24, it says, "And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep." I'm telling you what, let's just be honest. Let's just pause for a second. Most of us feel, especially when our life is in the storm, that Jesus is asleep, that Jesus has forgotten, that Jesus has taken a back seat, that Jesus is distracted, that he's working somebody else's miracle, and he has forgotten about me, when that isn't the case. He's asleep. Jesus was on the boat. He was still there. The presence of the living God was not absent in the storm. Make a check mark in your soul right now. Presence of storms does not mean the absence of God. In verse 25, it says, "And they went and woke him, saying," I mean, this seems silly to us because we're not there. And I can mock the disciples, like, "Have faith. Like, I've read the end of the story. It ends well." Well, not really for the disciples, but this part of the story ends well. "And they woke him, saying," this is, like, in my mind, and I if you don't know me, like, I look at everything through the lens of, like, movies and stuff. Like, this is girl cry, scary movie, like, grown man, like, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing."
Like, this isn't like, Lord, save us. We're perishing. I mean, this is full on fear, and like, they don't care that they have just looked like a little girl.
I feel like I'm going to get like beat up when I get to heaven. They're like, what do you say, Heath? I'm a little girl. Like, it's just to illustrate a truth. I'm sorry. No, they won't be punching you in heaven, okay? Somebody's view of heaven just got thrown out the window. In verse 26, it says, and he said to them, why were you afraid? Oh, you of little faith. Why were you afraid? You just saw Jesus do amazing, miraculous things, and he's in the boat. Jesus didn't say, hey, can you take this boat and go over there? I'll meet you later. And you're on the water without Jesus. Jesus is in the boat. And you are getting a good idea that this guy is proclaiming himself as the Messiah, which means God is in the boat with you. Your fear overwhelms you. You go to Jesus and you scream like a little girl. And when he wakes up, he doesn't deal with the storm yet. He deals with them. Because there's a truth that they needed to understand before the storm was ended, is why were you afraid, you of little faith? Because I'm here. I'm in the boat. And then after that, it says, then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Could you imagine the truth concreted in their souls in that moment? Because Jesus wakes up, he didn't do anything with the storm. He just says, why are you afraid? You of little faith. And then he stands up. And like, still movie scenario, stands up like, all the, you know, power and authority that you can imagine. He speaks to the weather. And it stops. And a great calm happened. And the men marveled, saying, see, they're progressing in their understanding of who Jesus is. What sort of man is this that even the winds and the seas obey him? This is the doctor on the other side of the door. This is the person that we're waiting for him to do what he has declared he is going to do in us. And if you continue on in Matthew 8, when they get to the other side, the sea is cleared. I mean, I'm sure the disciples, when they hit that land, they're like, ooh. You know, if they were cocky and arrogant, not about themselves, but about the Jesus they served, like tenfold right there, like, boom. Yeah, Jesus, this is my... Like, they're probably still in little girl mode. Like, we're on the team. We got picked. He seems brilliant. I don't know why he chose me, but he did. And so they're met by these demoniacs on the beach that no one can control them. And Jesus speaks peace to them, rebukes the legion of demons out of them into the pigs. The pigs run off, go into the sea, and die. And the town and the village comes out to meet Jesus at the sea and ask him to leave. So here's what's going on. Here's really where I want us to be today. Is who are we going to be? Are we going to be the people in the waiting room that's going when things are going around us? Not to say it's easy. This is not a suck it up message. This is not a like get over your pain and suffering and believe. This is embrace, sorry for saying this word, the suck. Don't diminish it. It's no less painful. It's no less hurtful. Embrace it only so that you can go, my Jesus is enough for this. And my Jesus is in the boat with me. And my Jesus is going to do something in me that will not be done any other way. This life that we're called to live will not be easy. It is not. Any other gospel that you've heard, any other preacher that you've heard that says, embrace Jesus and your riches are coming, embrace Jesus and the easy life is here, has never read the gospel. Wide is the way that leads to destruction, and it is easy. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and it is hard. But it still leads to life. It still leads to life. So will we be people willing to embrace the suck? Willing to embrace the hurt and the pain with the knowledge that God is there working for us? James 1, Romans 5, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because in those things we become whole and complete. You will not be whole and complete without those things. And they're not punishment. They're not the angry will of a distant God. They are the loving embrace of a Father that has taken control of that from you, just like we read earlier, and is so interested in you becoming what He's called you to be that He has taken that into His hands. And so if we can trust that, if we can sit here and go, God, regardless of what's going on, I believe you. Because if you can get there, and it's hard, and this is partly why today there's a sign-up sheet in the hallway for community groups. This is not just because most churches have Sunday school or community groups, and that's what churches do. It is because that is the way that in the Bible we see believers growing and maturing together. Is he worth the wait? Or we can be like the people of the demoniacs that are afraid because they've seen the power of God, afraid of what may be called to happen in the presence of God, that they send him away. And I know, don't get me wrong, like I doubt anybody's in here like, yes, check that box, I'm sending Jesus away. Like, you're probably not sitting here thinking like, yep, I have nothing to do with Jesus. But the same mentality happens when we ignore the presence and power of the Creator that is calling you into this life to give you the life that He has designed for you, life and its abundance. Let's go back to Psalms 25. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your path. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you, I wait all the day long. What's going on in your waiting room? What's going on? And you're the only one that can answer this. What's going on inside of you as you're waiting for God to do fill in your blank? Because once we acknowledge that there's something that needs to happen in me, there's something that's broken, there's something that's off, and God is the source of that, then it's leading to this. Can we trust that God is able and willing to bring healing? Is he? Because if he is, then you'll do certain things that you weren't doing. If He is that person, then it changes the way we react or interact with Him. See, one of the ways, or one of the reasons why in this season we intentionally do 21 days of prayer and fasting, most people are in a position of going, I need some change. It's a new year. I want 2018 to be better than 2017. And they're willing, at least in their brain, to desire change. But in that desire, you must take action to see change. You cannot write things in your journal about the things that you want for God to do and do nothing for them. And so one of the things that we've asked people to do is to maybe turn off things. Maybe during this season, you turn the TV off for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. Maybe in the season, you cut down some of those things that are drawing your time away. And with that, it's not just about taking something away. It's adding something to the two main things. Really, I'll add one this morning. The two main things that we're asking you to do is to find a reading plan that works for you. Diligently say, I'm going to choose to be in the Word, because the Word is the way that God uses to speak to you. Period. You cannot get enough from me. You will be a starving Christian if your outlet, your food source is here on Sunday mornings. You have to diligently look, he's saying, teach me your ways. His ways and His truth are in His Word. Find a plan that works for you. And in there, we're encouraging the one-year Bible, but let me just be honest with you. There was years where the one-year Bible was too much reading for me. If we're going to be honest, I want you to be successful in something. And so if you look at the sample of the one-year Bible of going, hey, it's two chapters of Old Testament, it's a chapter of New Testament, a Psalm and Proverb every day, and if that's too much for you, there's reading plans that are reading the New Testament in a year, which reduces the volume of what you're reading, but still gets you in the Word. But pick something. Make a commitment to what you're reading. Make a commitment that this is what I'm going to do this year, and I'm going to be with diligent pursuing God in His Word. And to go along with this one, tell somebody about it. I've got a group of guys that we've made some commitments to do certain things, and in that we have this accountability where we're asking every week, have you done A, B, or C? Tell somebody, this is what my plan is. This is what I'm reading. And then invite them into that. Give them permission to ask me how my reading's going. And maybe, you just go, hey, once a week, let's just tag, if we're going to be accountability on our reading, maybe once a week, just say, this verse stood out to me, and this is something that I felt like, you know, God was stirring in me. And just share it with each other. I mean, could you imagine if you intentionally start looking in the Word for God to speak to you? He begins to speak with you. You begin to share it with someone else. They begin to share something with you. It's so amazing to see that God will use other people and what they're hearing for God to speak in and through you. So find a reading plan. Make a commitment. Share it with somebody. Here's my second thing. Is what are you waiting for in prayer? Like, what are you diligently asking God to do for you? What is it? And if you don't know, spend a little time going, God, what is my thing? Here's another thing. Make a commitment. I'm going to pray for these two things. It could be a family member. It could be something that you want to see God set you free from. Maybe anger is an issue of yours, and you're going to pick out a verse on anger. In your anger, do not sin, whatever. And you're just going to go, God, every day I'm going to pray that you would show me how I live in this life without this happening. And then, accountability is awesome. Share that with someone and just say, this is what I'm praying for. And so each week they can just ask you, like, how is that going? Like, have you seen God move in these areas? Because when we begin to see God move, just like the disciples in the boat, I'm telling you start praying for something big. I'm not talking about like something little and you're like, God, I want somebody to give me a quarter. Oh, there's a quarter right there. And you're like, yeah, that's great. I'm telling you, when you begin to pray for something big and you see God move in a big way, it is just like the disciples sitting in that boat, terrified, screaming like a little girl, save us. And Jesus stands up like the man he is, and he speaks to the winds and the waves and tells them to be still, and they're still. I mean, can you imagine in there, like, they're like, their faith is soaring when they stepped off that beach, and those demoniacs, they probably heard stories of these people because they couldn't, you couldn't go through this region because of these two guys. They probably stepped on that beach like, bringing out here crazy men? Jesus. Boom. Yes. My Jesus did it again. Because once we begin to see God speak and move, we get hungry for more. And when he speaks and moves again, we get hungry for more. The danger is, if we're going to be completely honest, for the most part, in the United States, we don't need God. I'm just going to be honest. We're not in a third world country. You're not. Most people in this room aren't going, where is my food going to come from? You know, how is this going to happen? You know, is someone today going to kick in our door and kidnap my family members? Am I going to be, you know, arrested in the square today because I believe in Jesus? No, it is easy here. But still hard. So I'm going to invite our worship team to come back up, and where I want to land here . Most things don't change without commitment. They just don't. I've been around this block long enough to realize, been a disciple of Jesus since 94. I've been in ministry since 2002. And let me just tell you, without a decision and a commitment and accountability, most change will never happen in your life. It just won't. And maybe I'm not correct, and maybe you're seeing success in there without, like, really trying. Give it a chance. Give it some time. We need to make decisions that'll change our year now. And so as we go into worship, as we again praise and worship the God who calmed the storm, who healed the leper, who healed someone from miles away, who walked on water. We forgot about the woman with the issue of blood in the middle of that. But she just touched the hem of his garment and was healed from a disorder that she had. What is God asking of you today? And maybe it's deciding that not just word of mouth, not just, you know, like, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but literally looking at the door in our illustration and going, the one on the other side, he is willing and able. And he's calling me. He's asking for me. He's wanting to call me child. He's wanting to lead me into a path that not only leads me into righteousness, but it leads me into life. So I just encourage you, as we sing this last song, don't just get distracted by the song, but allow God to speak to you today. What is God asking you today? Make a decision. Put that decision into an applicable action. And then once you've decided the action, share that action with someone and just say, hey, look, let's do this. I want to see change happen in me, and I need you. Which leads me to number three. Community groups are a great place for that to happen. It's a great place for you to find out that no one else in this room has got it all figured out. And we still need each other, and we still need the presence of the living God to get us through the day. But we strengthen each other in those relationships. Let's pray. Dearly Father, we just thank you right now that you knew from the beginning that we were incapable of saving ourselves. And from the beginning of Genesis till the entrance of Jesus onto the scene, you have had a plan and you are still working the plan out. Lord, we with eager expectation wait for your return, for your resettling things to the ways in the vision that you had. We wait with eager expectation to see your kingdom come and your will be done in our lives, in the lives that we have contact with. And so, Lord, we just pray right now that as we're in this room, that like your Holy Spirit, not my conviction, not my potential guilt, but that your Holy Spirit would begin to say, son or daughter, this. But I pray right now that you would begin to touch those areas of our life that we need to release to you. Lord, I pray that you would give us with discernment and wisdom action steps to take in moving our life forward. But in all that, we acknowledge that without you, there is no movement forward. There is no health. There is no healing. So Lord, today we trust you and we love you. Do what only you can do in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.